the flow of the shir tonight is somewhat disparate. It's not logical flow, it's just thoughts which came from the areas I wanted to touch on. So it'll be what I call a stream of consciousness. Okay. The first one, what started this shir going really was my wife a few times said to me, you know, people are being tovel kale in Sligo Creek. And is that okay? And I said, no. She said, well, you better tell them. Okay. So the thought process why people think you're going to tovel kale in Sligo Creek is because it's a natural body of water. Now, what can be more natural than Sligo Creek, right? So, of course, it's kosher. That's the thought process. And that's... I wanted to explain just that halacha a little bit. There's two types of places to tovel something. There's a mikveh and there's a mayan, a spring. A mikveh halachically has to be water. The water is stationary. That's why if there's a very crack in a mikveh and the water is flowing out of the mikveh is pasul deraisa. So that's why they're very careful when they make mikvos, is that they're made of materials that don't crack. And if they catch a crack, they have to take all of the water out of the mikveh, dry it out totally, fix it, and then wait for the new rain to come back in. So it's a big issue with the mikvos. So rainwater has to be stationary. Mayan, the spring water, can be even if it's moving. So if the source of the Sligo Creek would be spring water, it's fine the fact that it's moving. If it's rainwater, it's not so good the fact that it's moving. So after doing a little bit of research, actually trying to figure out exactly who is the right person to contact to get the information, what are the sources of Sligo Creek, I was able to find... the right fellow in the Washington Area Council of Governments who was able to give me the report that I needed for this information. It took me a while to figure out, like, who do you go to for this? Anyway, at this point in time, Sligo Creek is almost... The spring sources are almost minimal, and it's the majority of it is rainwater. You go to Sarayev, and therefore it's possible the fact that it's moving. Sligo Creek is not kosher. Now, Northwest Branch, for those of you who are familiar, there's actually something called Northwest Branch. As you go all the way down Lamberton, and there's a trail over there, and you go a little bit further down, there's a creek, there's a Lamberton tributary which feeds into it, which runs actually parallel to Lamberton Drive at the end. And that goes into a larger creek. If you walk to White Oak, that big thing, which you see across 29 at the end, that big waterfall over there, that's called Northwest Branch. It's actually the Northwest Branch of the Anacostia River, and there actually is a Northeast Branch somewhere which meets and that becomes the river. Northwest Branch, actually, its starting point is in Sandy Spring, Maryland, by the Sandy Spring. It comes from a spring. Not clear what is the majority at this point in time. So also not acceptable to use. Camel pond is obviously not kosher. However, I want to tell you a fascinating thought. Because they use the regular water from the city water to put it in before there was enough rain. Once you have enough rain, you can add as much rainwater as you want. City water as you want. But they didn't do it that way. However, now when they emptied it, had they emptied it totally, then there's enough rainwater which came down that we would have had a kosher mikveh here at the Temple Caleb. But they didn't empty it totally, so it joins originally the pustle water which is there, and it becomes a mess. So they should have drained it totally, and they didn't listen to me. Okay. So bottom line is you have to use either the kele mikveh in Woodside or the kele mikveh in the cooker's store. Okay. So the case that somebody asked you, that is the halach on that. One-time usage. So there is a discussion in regards to a kele which is made for one-time usage, aluminum pans, disposable pans, etc., and the way I answer the question that is the following way. But a person is planning to use it for one-time usage, not for multiple use. Number one. There's a machlokes poskim whether it's chayav in tefillas kelim or not. Rav Moshe Fein Zichel Levracha holds that it's totally mutzer to use it without tefillah. He says two or three times even possibly. It's not chayiv because it's made. It's disposable. It doesn't last. Rav Menashe Klein Shlita holds that it's chayiv with tefillah with a bracha. The minhag olam seems to be like Rav Moshe that it's not chayiv in tefillahs, kelim, and for many people are samech on that. My Rebbe actually holds the chumrah, so I personally am tovel without a bracha. But the Ikar V'Sak seems to be that you can be samech on to rely that you don't have to tovel it. And that seems to be what the minigar is on that. Now, what's come from that, if you're planning to use it for multiple usages, you do have to tefill it. Even then, without a bracha. Since it is disposable, because the Rosh holds even that. But the other person will discuss it, say if it's going to be multiple use, you should tefill it. From there has developed a mistake that, well, so a single use is not a problem. So even if I have a keli which is made for multiple use, I'm allowed to use it one time before I tefill it. Well, that's not true. A keli which is made for multiple use, you cannot even use it one time without tefilling it. So that's actually a Beferish Ramah. And Ramah discusses a case where the keli wasn't even made for the purpose of using it for food. It was made for a different purpose. And that's what you plan to use it for. But one time he said, no, let's use it for food one time. And he says it's chayv and tefila. You can't use it even in one-time usage without tefilling it. Another mistake which is developed, which goes further, so you have a keli which is chayv and tefila, and so you can't use it without tefilling it. So I'll line it with aluminum foil, then it'll be okay. Have you ever heard of that one? I've heard that from people, yeah. Line it with aluminum foil, and it's okay. It's not okay. You're using the keli. The keli is functioning to take care of the food, etc. So you still be chayv and tefila. Okay. That was the two cases which my wife brought up, people that are not familiar with this, so I should point it out. So those are the two interesting ones. Let's go to the shir. The basic points of the shir. There's a mitzvah in the Torah to tevil keli which are made out of metal. That mitzvah of the Torah does not preclude you from using it without tefilling it. It's not an isser to use it, it's a mitzvah to tefill it. The Chachamim came along and said, well, if you can use it without tefilling it, we're afraid you might not be motivated to tefill it. So they said you cannot use it until you tefill it. So there's two separate dinims. One, there's a chiyuv to tefill it. And the second halacha is there's a halacha that you may not use it until you tefill it. What's interesting, I saw an interesting ha'ora. Well, from the Torah's viewpoint, you're allowed to use it without tefilling it, but you have a mitzvah to tefill it. When does that mitzvah start? Well, we say, well, the mitzvah starts before you use it. Well, but according to the Torah, you're allowed to use it without tefilling it, so you can't say it starts before you use it, so when does the mitzvah start? So there are some persons who say the mitzvah starts as soon as you buy it. When you buy a mitzvah, you buy a kli which you're planning to use for the purposes of achila, you have a mitzvah to tefill it right away. We don't do that. I mean, many people don't do that. So we buy a large set of whatever, and we put away half for Pesach, and I'll tefill it Pesach time, Or somebody gave me this set of 12 service of flatware for service for 18. I don't need it for 18. One day, Mr. Shem, my family, so I put away half of it, in storage, and one on the box, and I'll mark not tefilled. So I won't use it without tefillah. And 10 years from now, when I pull it out, I'll tefillah it. So it's interesting to think about. It could be that that's not correct. This is something which I had not thought about this before. I was preparing this year, I came across this issue. If the mitzvah of the Torah is nothing to do with usage, the mitzvah of the Torah is to tefillah the keli, so the zman of the mitzvah is immediately, not when you plan to use it. So that's an interesting thought. Chum came along and said, you may not use it until you tefill it. What about a situation, what type of kelim are chayiv and tefillah? So the loch is only kli suda are chayiv and tefillah. Kli suda is something which is used for the process, somewhere in the process of achila. So halachically, there are two clear types of kelim which are chayiv and tefillah with the bracha. The kelim which are used at the table, so they clearly are kli suda, and kelim which are used to take the item from being not edible to being edible. Or they're used with something which, when they're finished with, that item is usable. So if I have a grater, and the only thing I use my grater for is for potatoes, so by the time you finish with the potatoes, they're still not edible, you still have to cook them. So a grater which is only used for the purpose of potatoes would be chayiv and tefillah without a bracha. If I use it for apples also, it'll be chayiv for tefillah with a bracha, because it's going to be something which, when I'm finished with it, it'll be something which I can then take and eat. So if it's used in the process of preparing something which will be edible will be edible. It's chayiv and tefillah. If it's used in the process of something which I bring to the table, it's going to be chayiv and tefillah.
Can I ask a question on that?
Yeah. Right, so then only it would be chayiv and tefillah without a bracha. Right, but the pan which you put in the oven will be chayiv and tefillah with a bracha because it's going to become out as being edible. So the halacha is only kli suda are chayiv and tefillah. We'll go back to some examples of that later on. Came along the Taz, and the Taz said, "Well, what about if I have an item which is a kli suda?" But for me, its purpose is for business. In other words, I own a store. I have all these kli suda in my store. Right? So the Torah says kli suda, chayiv and tefillah. I own thousands of kli suda. No, I don't. For me, they're not kli suda. They're not kalim for a meal. They're kalim to do business with. For me, they function as kli schara. So for me, they function as kli schara. So they're not chayiv and tefillah. So then the question came up. So we had this big tzaddik of a storekeeper, and he lived in a neighborhood where people are not makbid on tefillas kelim. So he decided he's going to do a big class, said he's going to take all of his kelim before he sells them. Well, they're not chayiv and tefillah yet because there's kli schara, they're not kli suda. So they're not chayiv and tefillah yet. Is it a valid tefillah? So this is the machlokes in the poskim. Many poskim say it's not a valid tefillah because it's not chayiv and tefillah yet. So therefore, the tefillah which he did beforehand is not valid. Ramanasha Klein has a chibur, he says that it is valid. You did tefillah, it's kosher. This has two very, very practical applications. Number one is when you go to the store and you buy that keli, and you want it, and they have Baruch Hashem, they have a mikvah there in the store. You have to make sure that you own it first, and you who are the person who's going to use it as kli suda owns it before you tevil it, because it still belongs to the moicher. So it's not chayiv and tefillah. So the tefillah is not necessarily valid. So the purchaser has to make sure that they get a kinyan on it before they tevil it. Now, what's a valid kinyan? So midaraisa, the valid kinyan is the person has to pay for it, some form of payment. Midrabbanan, the Chacham said that's not enough. You also have to do some act of hagbah with the or chotzer when you take it home. It's yours, and that's so you take it home, put it in your house, and then you take it to the mikvah. That's great. In your car, maybe also, that's considered your chotzer, and that would be kind of. If you have a big purse, you put it in your purse, the purse would act as a chotzer, and you'd be kind of. For hagbah to work, well, I thought I was kind of with giving the money. It seems to be that you're not kind of with hagbah if you don't know that you're supposed to be kind of with hagbah. So the person pays with the money, that's not enough, and then goes over to the mikveh and tevels it. Well, could be that wasn't necessarily valid because they didn't purchase it yet, halachically. The kinyan wasn't valid. So that's a little bit scary. So that's one application. So a person should be careful to do a kinyan. When you take it off the table and it's in the air, you did hakbah. You don't have to lift it up. It has to be suspended in the air under your power. So any person takes it off the counter, it's in the air. That's great. Just have intent to be kind, and that's all you have to do. You don't have to do anything more than just, I'm taking this with intent to acquire it. Now I can be terrible. Just picking up is enough, as long as you have a tent. See, chotzer is kind of without das. That's the chotzer, anything which acts as chotzer, your purse, your car, your house, you don't have to das to be kind of. So those things would work without. So, but hagbon needs das. Okay. The other place where it is in the Gaya is, let's move it a step further. Let's say I decide, this is a very common issue. I want to give out Sholach Manos for Purim, and I decide I'm going to give my Sholach Manos in this very nice jar, which you can use for whatever. So I go out, I buy 100 jars to give out. Those jars for me are not Kli Suda. They are Kli Kalim, which I'm going to use as Matanos. So now they're not chayiv and tefillah yet, but I'm a big tzaddikus, and I say, before I give it to all my friends, I should tevil it first, because otherwise I'd get this thing which is not tevilled. So it's an asik for them. So I go and I tevil all my 100 jars, and I deliver to everybody with a little note that Baruch Hashem is tevilled. Well, the luck is that the person should then tevil it without a bracha. And they can't use it without being tevilled. So this happened 2 years ago in Torah school. I don't remember, this. It was the Torah school, and in the Rosh Hashanah, the Rosh Hashanah basket that they sent out, with the apple and the honey was an apple cookie cutter. So, and what happened was, so my wife went to pack the packages, of course, and so there's a little note there that they've been teufeled. My wife says, well, you know what? You're not Yotzei. Teufeling right now, because you bought them as Kli Matana, not as Kli. So they went to Rain, and Rain said that, so good, so we won't leave the forget about the note, and, you know, we'll teufel them. Well, it says, well, it's a machloikas, similarly, you have to teufel them again without a bracha. So they had to put a note in that you tell them without a bracha. Now people say, well, it must be cookie cutters don't need to feel with brachas. So they had said, so the reason not for cookie cutters don't need to feel with a bracha, because cookie cutters maybe do need to feel with a bracha, but this is a special circumstance. Don't ask your rabbi.
It's not product.
Well, it depends what it's used for. You can use it in some doughs, you know.
It dough.
Right, so it depends what it's used.
True.
Right, it's true. So they didn't want anybody to draw any conclusions, because the issue wasn't cookie cutters. The issue was the fact that it had been toivled, possibly not correct. So I just got a phone call. I don't know who repeated it. I just got a phone call from Mrs. Levitt. Apparently the Academy, Debbie Levitt, was, yeah, you know, asked me. She'd heard that I said this was problematic, etc. She wondered what the issues were, because they were apparently contemplating something along the lines. They said, okay, well, you know. So Rainer said you should table again without a bracha. So if you're planning to do that, the best thing to do is not table it and let the person table it themselves with a bracha. You should definitely write them down and save them try and save them. Okay. It's not going to be, you know, this is a private session between, you know, Tikva Rachel and myself. You know, that's not, okay. Another interesting case which comes up with along these lines. So, person, okay, so I get this item and it's not toivled and it comes with coffee in it. Or I go to the store and I buy a jar of coffee. So, it's storing my coffee. So, a storage container, lacha is chayv until without a bracha. If it's not something you can bring to the table. If you bring your jar of coffee to the table, so then it's chayv until with a bracha. But I got it ready with so one of my mechuvah, to empty out all of the coffee, take it, table it, and then put it back in. My mechuvah to do that. You're not mechuvah to do that. It comes as such, it's function over there. It was given when you purchased it, you receive that as a matana. It wasn't. It was its main function was to be more like. It wasn't like you bought a keli, and the function is to use the keli. The main function over here is the item inside. It's almost it functions like a Ramosha said in the Shuba. It's like the shell around the nut. So kolzman it's in there. You're not mechuyev to empty it out. Actually, the Chazon Ish says not like that. Hills you mechuyev to empty it out, but the Minhag Adam is not like the Chazon Ish. You don't have to empty it out. Now, okay, so now. So whatever's in there, I poured out grape juice into my decanter, and then after the soda, I realized there's a lot of grape juice left in the can. I want to pour it back into the bottle. Now it's already a different story, right? I'm putting this into this non-toiveled glass jar. I'm pouring this grape juice in. So are you allowed to do that? So again, this is a question amongst the poskim. The main psak is that you do not have to study that. That's okay. Rosh Hashanah Zelman says it just. It's the spar that wasn't really to be taken out yet. However, let's say it now is emptied out totally, and I want to keep it. So now I have it's a great jar. I really could use this. It's a great idea, and I want to now clean it out, wash it out, and I want to use this now in my kitchen. So what's the loch in that situation? You should table it without a bracha. Ramosha actually holds that case that possibly is still putter. That even that is possible. The many person hold that situation. The person is chayiv, and therefore the best thing to do is to empty it out, and you tackle it without a bracha. Okay. Different direction. Again, this is stream of consciousness. Another area where people get a little bit confused. So as your children get a little bit older, Bez Hashem, so you know you want to your children in the midst of Tilas Kalim. And it's exciting. You go for Pesach, and you take your kids there, and everybody gets a chance to dunk something into the mikveh. So is that acceptable? The halacha is that a child can be tovel kalim even though they don't necessarily have das. Tilas kalim does not require das. It's valid even without das. However, you must see that it was done, because the child has no nemanus to say that it was accomplished. So you say, you know what, just take care of these five kalim. I'll be back in a minute. You know, to go with some more things from the car. Yeah, Mom, we took care of that. It's not acceptable. You have to do those five kalim again. On the bar mitzvah. Now, there's even a question on the poskim. We're dealing with the mitzvah deraisa. So, do we rely on the fact that they... Because godless and halacha requires age plus various simonim. How do we know the simonim came? So there's an assumption in halacha the simonim came. That halacha actually only applies to mitzvah derabanan, not to the raisas. For the raisas, we don't rely on that chazaka. So there's some person say even a bar mitzvah child, until they reach the point where you clearly have maturity, physical maturity, would not be acceptable halachically. So that's very careful. Be careful at that point. Again, so they can do the tefillah as long as you see it. A goy can do the tefillah as long as you see it. Right? You can have the goy do it as long as you see it, but they can't tell you that they did it. Yeah. Metals are right. So glasses are abundant. Right. They say the bracha. They would say the bracha. There's the room the tefillah. They said the bracha. What? Then nobody would say the bracha.
If each person's there to have only one dish, then each person.
Well, either one person could say for all of them, or and everybody answer amen. Have you? It's like B'dikas Chama to the bracha said you're having a lot of rooms. You can get all your everybody there together, and each one will say amen and go off to their room, or each one can say their own. Okay. Now, in regards to the bracha issue, I just want to talk about the bracha issue. So there's a halacha that talks about a few places where a person does multiple mitzvahs. You make one bracha on multiple mitzvahs. That's brought down in halacha in regards to putting on, a person puts on multiple pair of tzitzis. The shechita, there's a bracha on shechita. The sheikh of the shechti, many, he's doing kisi adam on many different birds and one after the other. So the gabai kaporis. Anyways, those who are brave enough to do the real life kaparas, you know, and they have that whole process going over there. There's a lot of so the sheikh says one bracha, he's not supposed to talk after he says the bracha because the bracha goes in all of the mitzvahs. He's not supposed to talk. But if he spoke after the bracha before the first mitzvah, he's not yotzei. He has to make a bracha. If he spoke after one mitzvah had been done between the first and the second, so he's still yotzei. You do not need a new bracha. You're not supposed to talk. So a person is there with five or six kelim to toivel, they should not be talking while they're toivin kelim. They're only allowed to talk anything which is necessary for the purpose of tefillas kelim. Same like b'dikas chametz. A person makes a bracha, then he's b'dik the whole house. He shouldn't be talking during b'dikas chametz. Yeah, you had a question?
They're
not supposed to talk, right? B'di evidence, covered. You know, whatever they need, but they're focused, they're not doing the mitzvah. It's not a well-known halacha. You know, part of going to Tevel Kalim is a chance to shmooze with your friend. Okay. A keli which what type of materials are chayiv in tefila? Metal is chayiv. Glass is chayiv. Glass, including Pyrex, Duralex, all of those different types of various different types. Even they have other things in there, but the ikar is they're considered they're made from silicon and they're considered like glass. Plastic is not chayv and tefila. Most there are some places which hold it. It's chayv and tefila. The ikar psak is plastic is not chayv and tefila. Eitz is not chayv and tefila. Wooden. You have a totally wooden keli. It's not chayv and tefila. Now there are certain kelim which are made out of wood and metal together. So what's the halacha over there? You have a keli which is made out of wood and metal together. So if the area which touches the food is all wood, so it's not chayv and tefila. The only exception to that is a barrel, which what holds the barrel together is the metal hoops on the outside. So it's really the metal makes the kli. So that the person says chayv and tefila, and then the person wondering well, nobody does it. You know, try to find out why. But that's not so common to you. You're not dealing. What? That's true too. But they don't.
Those barrels you would store wine to age it.
Right. Those would be chayv and tefila. Right. Right. So that's the person about why well, people aren't doing it because it's clear. It's a clear shulchan aruch. No, Ramot talks about that case, and it says it's chayv and tefila. But now let's say you have a situation where you have let's say metal inside. The majority of it is wood. The metal is inside, touching the food, and the metal is necessary, not just there for beautification, etc. So it's chayv and tefila with the bracha, because the metal now becomes significant Okay, so now let's say I have my pot, and it's a metal pot with a plastic handle. Well, plastic is not chayvin tefila. It's a big pot. I can get the whole pot in, but the handle is a real headache. So what can I? Well, it's not chayvin tefila. Once it is, as long as it's attached to the kli, everything has to go in, even the part which is not made out of material, which is chayvin tefila. So it'd be a wooden handle or a plastic handle. It has to go into the mikvah also. However, you could take off the handle and travel it without the handle. But you have to be careful in that case. If that situation, you can't, the screws left on will be a chatzitza. So that takes me to the keli, which is made out of pieces, since you have your blender. So there's the base, and then there's the glass jar, and there's the metal blade. So how are you supposed to travel that? Leaving out the issue of electricity for a second. Is it best to take it apart and travel it separate? Is it best to travel it together? So, Rav Pesach Frank was asked this question. You're allowed to travel it together. Maybe the best way, because this way, all you have some parts which are not chayv and tefillah, some parts are chayv and tefillah. Maybe it should be a chatzitza. So the person who asked the question said, maybe it's better to travel it separate. Maybe you can't travel it together. And he proved from Halacha that actually it's preferred to travel it together, not separate. So it's preferred in Halacha to travel it together as a kli. The parts which are yes chayv and tefillah, the parts which are not chayv and tefillah, it's better to travel together as a kli rather than to travel it separate. But you would yes if you did it separately. So therefore, I saw fascinating halachas. You know, I'm not going to tell you to do this. I just wanted to show you an example of how this applies. So you have one of these blend. You know, one of these blenders, food processors. So it's and it has 18 attachments. So one of the persons says, so you attach number one and you toivel it. Take it out, detach, attach number one, attach number two, and you toivel it. And you do that 18 times. Because it's preferred to do it together. So I'm not going to tell you to do that, but you definitely can do it separately. But I said, wow, he really took this seriously, because they just preferred in halacha to do it together. But assuming you have one or two, you have all the pieces there, why not do it together? So you should do it together, preferably do it together, and if you need to do it separately, you can do it separately. Okay. Electric items which, work with electricity. So this is always the problem, because they tell you this is big sign says, do not immerse in water, void warranty, do not immerse in water, all these wonderful things they tell you, big skull and crossbones, that you will burn and however if you dare put this thing in water, right? The reality is that nothing happens if you put it into water. The problem is if you put it into water and then you turn it on, it short circuits. The problem is not putting it into the water. Except for something which has a computer chip in it, that's a different story. But your percolator is not affected at all by the fact that it's put into water. The problem is, it has to dry out well before you use it. So, the reality is, if you put it in a nice warm place and you let it sit for 3-4 days, it dries out. And there's kalim which use electricity, 95% of the person say that it's chayv and tefillah. It's a regular kalim, it's chayv and tefillah. There's one sheet that says that since the only way you can use it is by plugging it into the wall, so it's mechubar lekarka, it's not chayv and tefillah. It's a difficult svara, it's not really, it only works when it's mechubar lekarka. And what about if you have a generator, and it's not really necessarily only mechubar lekarka. Nowadays we have generators, I've used generators in my house, I had one of these blackouts, plug it into the generator, and it's not mechubar lekarka, it still works, now it's chayv and tefillah. It's not mistar, it's a difficult svara. So the person said that it's chayv and tefillah. The problem is, we're worried about using it. So again, so I have to tell you, we've traveled many electric kalim without a question. We've used them, you let them dry for a few days, and you use them. The problem, of course, if you buy it Erev Shabbos, and you need it for a Shabbos, that's not an etzer. Right? That's true. But Mikra Din, it is very doable. Now, voiding the warranty, so there's another etzer how to void the warranty and solve the problem, is if you can take it to a Uman Yisrael, who will take it apart in a way that only an Uman can, and only an Uman can put it back together again, and put it back together again, so it's a keli which is made by a Jew. Keli which is made by a Jew is not chayv and tefillah. So that's an etzah, but that usually will void your warranty also. Right? That's the second way how you want to void your warranty and fulfill the halacha. Okay, so there's two ways how to tevel it. One is just tevel it and let it... Now, let's say you're really worried about it, too much water getting in there. So can you block the opening? So you pull out the plug, you know, you want to put your hand there, like so not so much water should go inside. Because there's no heave to get the water inside. It just has to be able to go inside. It doesn't have to actually go inside. Because it's an area which is, anything which is the inside of the keli, it's called beis hasharim. The same way a woman tevels in the mikvah, she doesn't have to tevel with her mouth open, all the water should go inside. But she can't have anything in her teeth blocking it from going inside. It has to be potentially roi to go inside. So the inside of the keli, of that area where the electricity is, not where you put the water, I'm saying where you put the plug, does not have to have water going inside. It has to be roi to go inside. No. That's the where the air where the item is used. That's an open. It's an open surface. It's an open surface of the item. But this is an area which is normally kept closed. Any area which is normally kept closed, it functions closed, not open. It's not chayv and tefillah. It just has to be roy for it to go inside. I mean, making sense? Oh, so I'm going to get to that. But before I get to that, this concept makes it okay. So the outside of your percolator has to go in also. You can't just put right. So the inside of the percolator has to go in also. This the bottom area is not made for food. It's not made for. It's made to be used closed.
So
that part doesn't have to be open. It's like your mouth. But it can't have any type of blockage which will prevent water from going in there. That's called not roy. Right. And that's why a woman has to brush her teeth before she goes to the mikveh and floss her teeth because maybe you don't have the water to go inside, but it has to be able. The water should be able to go inside. So you can wet your hand with the mikveh water and put your hand on top of it. Your hand should be well, you know, should be not, you know, should be clearly wet. So then the mikveh water which touches your hand is considered like it touched, it's part of the mikveh when it goes in, and keep your hand on top of it. So as long as your hand is wet, you're able to do that. So it won't keep out the water totally because your hand is not that hermetically sealed, but it will prevent a large amount of water from going in there, so it's much easier for it to dry out afterwards. You see, you can do that.
Hold on to it,
okay.
What? That also means that you can hold on to it.
Now, we'll get to that. The last eitza with that, none of those things work. If the person has this thing, which a little bit has an electronic chip, etc., which the whole thing is not going to function. You get it wet, you short circuit the whole. You know, computer chip is not made for that type of stuff. Being immersible in water. So there, our person said you can give it to as a matana to a non-Jew, and then borrow it from him. So that case is brought down the halacha. The case which is brought down the halacha was a person had got a keli immediately before Shabbos, and there wasn't time to travel the keli. Needed the keli for Shabbos. So he says over there, the halacha is you're allowed to give it to a non-Jew, and then borrow it from him. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to a non-Jew. It's not chayv and tefillah. A Jewish keli is chayv and tefillah. Give it to another Jew, and then borrow from him. It doesn't work. But give it to a non-Jew, it'll work. But the Taz says that immediately after Shabbos, you have to tevel it. Even though it belongs to a non-Jew, but since you're going to be keeping it forever, so it looks like a Jewish keli, you have to tevel it. So that's why the person do not prefer this Eitzah as the first approach, because the Taz says you don't rely on that. You know, even though it belongs to a non-Jew, you still have to tevel it anyway. But to say, well, here we'll be making not like the Taz, if we have no other Eitzah, how to do it. So that's the Eitzah which they have. It's to give it to the non-Jew. I have this question which came up. I'll give you a few of the halachas coming together. I got a phone call. It was Erev Shabbos from a chaver of mine was with he was on a vacation with his family somewhere in northern Michigan, and they had been fishing and they caught some fish, and they realized they didn't have a knife to fillet the fish. So they went into the little local town over there and they bought a knife to use to fillet the fish. And they want to know if they can travel the knife in the lake which is there. Well, what can be wrong with traveling a knife in a lake, right? So you're back to, well, was it a man-made lake or was it a natural lake? Even if it was a natural lake, was it a lake which was at the beginning of a source of water, or was it a lake which was in the middle of a river? There's some lakes which are really an elongated river, a widened river. So you have the water is flowing. It's flowing water. Well, what's the source of this? Is it rainwater or is it spring water? So I don't know the reality of your lake out there, whether the ocean is kosher a full bona fide lake area is kosher. It's that it has a din of a yam is kosher even though it's moving. But a river isn't. So a wide river isn't either. So the fact that you call it a lake because it's a little bit wider right now, because you know the area around it is a little bit more flat than if it spreads out, doesn't make it a lake necessarily halachically. So you know, when you say a lake, you know, he wasn't talking about Lake Michigan. He was talking about Lake Hujawaji, you know, in the middle of some, I don't know where. So I said, I can't tell you, you can talk about that. I don't know what it is. So find a fellow traveler over there who's not Jewish and give it to him as a matana and then borrow it back. That's what I told him. So the obvious assumption, what's to be wrong with a lake, is not so obvious. It's not so partial. Okay, so holding the keli tight. Now, that what I told you, the idea of blocking and holding it, is a machloikis. Not everybody agrees that you're allowed to do that. So therefore, I said, since we have a problem with the electric keli, we're going to rely on that. But when it comes to other kelim, it's a machloikis, well, you're allowed to do that, hold it tight. So they have, by the mikvah, they have this option of a basket, of using a basket to put it in. Some people just stick the whole basket in, and then you can just drop it down, and you really let go of it, let it fall to the bottom of the basket, or the bag, etc. So, halachically, that is fine. The Ramah says that is fine, it's not a problem at all to do that, and actually it's preferred, better than holding it tight. So I have a choice to, well, the basket sounds a little strange, you know, holding it tight, you know, sounds very, you know, right, that. So what you that it's preferred to use the basket if you're afraid to let go of it, something which you're afraid would fall and break, etc., glass, whatever it is. You can, if it's not too large and you can put your hand underneath it, you can, you know, let go and have the bottom hand catch it. And there's always that very nice reaching item which is used to get the stuff from the bottom of the mikveh, which I'm sure. You've all experienced that. So you can use the basket, and it is preferred rather than over holding it tight. It's preferred to use it. Somebody asked me a question. Again, this can openers. There are can openers chayav in tefillah. So I said, no, can openers are not chayav. Even though they might actually touch the food, that's not their function. The function is not a kli suda anyway. Main function is to open up the keli. China. Is China chayiv in tefillah? So the Iker Halach is that Kli Cheres is not chayiv in tefillah. Earthenware kelim are not chayiv in tefillah. There is a Aruch HaShulchan says the minhag is to tovel China. He says, why is that? Because Kli Zchuchis is chayiv in tefillah. And the weak paskin that even a kelim is not chayiv in tefillah, if what comes in contact with the food is a layer of something which is chayiv. Let's say you have a metal, you have a wooden kli and has a very thin layer of metal inside. It's chayiv in tefillah. So if I have kli cheres, which has a layer of being glazed, which is a glass on top of it, so glass is chayiv in tefillah. So even though it's kli cheres, it's chayiv in tefillah. So he says, even though some of them, the layer is so, it's not actually made out of a glass, some of them are made with the glass, some of them are made without a glass, and therefore became the minhag to always do it, because we shouldn't get confused. So there, obviously you would do without a bracha. So the Aruch HaShulchan says there's such a minhag to do that. Does that a minhag apply? There's sort of the minhag in Europe. Does that a minhag apply here in America? So I've spoken to different places and gotten different answers. Apparently the process which they did in Europe of this real glazing, it's very rare to do it nowadays. Therefore, maybe the minhag does should not apply. And there are some places, Rabbi Harper told me, the minhag does not apply in America. China, you do not have to tell China. Unless you know a case of China where it had a specific act of glazing with a glass on top of it. You know, they have all that nice shiny surface. That's not called glazing. That's the china itself that is able to produce that. The bone china, whatever it is. But if there be a glazing, a real glazing on it would be an issue. But otherwise, you don't have to tovel it. My Rebbe actually holds that the minhag does apply, and therefore I personally do tovel it, but I think the minhag Arlam is not the tovel it. So you have to ask, you know, it's like Elamai, so you can ask Rishayla. Definitely without a bracha. So, what about stickers? So, there are two or three issues when it comes to stickers. So one issue when it comes to stickers, by now you realize it's not a question. One of the person dealt with a shayla, somebody asked him, they were giving him a ton to the chasen kalav, they wanted to leave the sticker on, so that's why the chasen kalav could return it. But they wanted to tovel it. Well, the answer is not to get a tovlet anyway, because you're not supposed to tovlet before you give us a matana. That's what he basically told him. So your question about the sticker wasn't the question, because it's irrelevant. So that's one area. A sticker which is on the kli in general is a chatzitza. There can't be any chatzitzas on the kli. Like if woman goes to mikvah, there's an issue of chatzitza. Let's say you have a sticker which is there, which enhances the value of the kli. So it says on it, you know, that it's this special type of crystal, whatever it is, from, you know, Salzgraf, however you pronounce that thing, right? You know, so you want the name to stay on there, because that's part of the cheshivas, that it has that sticker on there, right? My Rebbe one time had the following halachic shayla. So you have, let's say, a suit, you know, and it says inside the suit, you know, some very fancy label. So it sells for $1,000. If I rip off the label off the suit, how much do I have to pay him? I didn't damage the suit, so the suit is totally wearable. I didn't damage, there was no damage done to the suit, but it sells for less because I ripped off the label. Is that considered a hezek or considered a grama? That was his halachic shayla. So here I take off this label, the value of the thing went down. I wanted to say on it whatever, so when my friends walk and say, oh wow, you have a hoa, you know, like, you know. So over there it's Lenoy, and it's not a chatzitza. That's something which people would normally leave on. It's Lenoy, it's not a chatzitza. There is a Ramah that says a chashkila we're makbar on all chatzitzas. Even something which is not a chatzitza, we're, you know, mikra is not a chatzitza. It's a miyach and a makbid. So we are makbar on that chashkila. That's why women also, when they prepare for the mikvah. So even though it's a miyach and a makbid, we still remove it. So as someone comes to tefillas kelim, so a miyach and a makbid, so it means a raisa to be considered a chatzitza. It has to cover the majority of the item, and it has to be something that you or people in general would not want to be there. That's a chatzitza the raisa. The rabbanan came along and said, well, if it's the majority of the item, it's a chatzitza. If it's a minority of the item, but people don't want it there, or you don't want it there, either one, so it's a chatzitza. If it's a minority of the item and nobody cares that it's there, so, you know, obviously, if I leave a sticker on the bottom of my pot, which is going on the fire, it's not a smart idea. It's going to catch fire. I leave a sticker on the bottom of you know, some other thing, which is, you're never going to see the sticker on the bottom. Who cares if the sticker is there? It's a miyashen amakbet. But the chachil, we don't leave it there. If it's very difficult to get it off, you can't get it off, so it's fine to table it as such, because it's not a problem of a chatzitza, because it's a miyashen. If you and most people would not care about it, if either you or most people do care about it, I don't care about it, most people do. Or most people don't, but I do, that's a problem. But if nobody cares about it, not me, not anybody else, right? So the fact that it's there, mikra din, it's not a chatzitza. But the chachilu, we remove it. If it's difficult to remove, we don't have to remove it. But if it's there, Lenoy is even a step better. It's not just there, it's not mock, but I want it to be there. So it becomes part of the keli, and it's not considered a chatzitza at all, and you're allowed to table it with the sticker on. Going back to the handle, so well, I have a sticker on the handle. Well, the handle, it's not really chayv and tefillah anyway. Again, as long as the handle is attached to the kli, the handle is chayv and tefillah. So the sticker is a chatzitza. So you can't have a handle sticker even on the handle. Okay, one last area, I think. I've covered everything. And then I think Rachel can ask all her questions. Okay, so you can't eat on keli which has not been tovled. So this raises many halachic issues. I go into a restaurant, and I'm not sure, a hotel, I'm not sure if they tovled the kelim. You go to a relative's house, and you know, they're very careful. They got brand new kelim for you, and they went and bought kosher food for you, and everything is wonderful. They didn't tovel it. So you walk in and say, you know what, I can't eat it because they didn't tovel it. They're going to go through the roof. Right? They're just like, you know, nothing's good enough for you. Right? You know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So what's the halach in that situation where it's, you can't eat on something which is not tovel? You can't use it. So there's a few thoughts over here which the place can deal with. So Moshe assumes, he talks about the case of the restaurant and the hotel. There was one argument which was presented. A few of the place considered it. We said before that kli schar are not chayiv in tefillah. So how does a restaurant owner or a hotel owner deal with his dishes? Are his dishes kli suda or are his dishes kli schar? For him, they're a business venture. This is how he makes money, by serving people on these kelim. So, but on the other hand, the venture is using meals to serve people. So there were some places which wanted to suggest, some people wanted to suggest that it's not considered kli suda. The main thing is it's considered kli schar, it's not chayav tefillah at all. That won't solve the relative situation, because that's clearly, yes, kli suda. Ramesh has a tshuva over there where he says that that's not true. Ramesh says that it's considered kli suda. Rav Avadya Yosef has a tshuva where he says it's considered kli suda. The other person would say that it's considered kli suda. That idea that the idea was written by the Shevet Sofer, was one of the some Sofer's mishpacha, that he held was not chayiv. Most persons disagree with him. As Ramesh says the following, Ramesh Zalman also assumed there was a problem. He says, okay, so you can't be mishtamish with it. So what are you supposed to do? So Ramesh says, well, you're supposed to remove the food onto something else. So how about I remove the food into my mouth? What about that? I mean, I didn't put it there, right? So, I mean, right now it's sitting on the plate. I'm not doing anything with it, right? So right now I have no problem. So the problem, I'm taking the food off. Okay, so that's what Ramesh says, you're really to remove the food onto another keli. But I am removing the food. I just haven't put it into my mouth. So Rosh Hashanah says that's okay. Even though it's considered hishtamshus of a keli normally to remove it, but over here you got to remove it anyway. What do you want me to do? So as long as I put it in my mouth, it's okay. But I can't use a non-toveled spoon to do that. So Ramesh says, and Rosh Hashanah says, that anything which the food will not stay functioning without the keli, Rosh is, you know, a piece of meat, excuse me for the, you know, the uncouthness, it can be on the table also, meet your reality, just it doesn't look nice. A bowl of soup, it can't be on the table anyway, right? It's not going to be there. Right?
But, well, probably didn't need a towel because it's, so you need a towel. A glass bowl, not a bowl. Oh, a glass bowl, or a metal bowl.
Right, so a cup, you know, something like that. So Rosh is anything... Ramesh comes along and says, Ramesh says anything which really could get away without the plate, anything dry, so it's not a problem to take it off. You use a plastic fork. You should ask them for some plastic forks or spoons in the hotel or the restaurant. Not your relatives. We'll get the relatives in a second, right? So because I'm just, it's not really functioning. The person who used it to serve me did something wrong because they were mishtamish with it to serve me. It's very hard to serve it in your hand. But once it's there, and you know, it's there. I can put it on the table theoretically. Ramesh says, but the bowl or the cup or that's not going to be an etzah. So those you're being mishdamish, you're holding. It's holding your thing for you. So that's not an etzah. So that's what Ramesh says. Or Shlomo Zalman says, okay, so I got to remove it. So Ramesh says, I'm going to remove it immediately because I'm using the bowl to hold my food. Shlomo Zalman, I agree with that. He says, but the other hand, When the dry item to take it into my mouth is not a problem. So they both agree that you could do. Yeah.
Is there an argument
let's rephrase your question. I'm going to go there and I'm not going to order soup. I'm not going to order a drink. I'm going to order something which is just dry, so I won't be really doing anything wrong. And I'm going to ask them for plastic cutlery.
No, I'm saying why go there at all? Because it's not
they haven't things we would like to assume. I mean, the food doesn't become usher. The food doesn't become usher. The fact that it was in a non-toiled cable. But you would like to assume that Hashkacha normally would make sure that the kelim are toiveled. And usually it is. That's what they usually do. You know? Again, sometimes you have a situation where it turns out that that's not so. But that's what Ramesh was dealing with. You have people who said, you know, they weren't focusing on that. But yes, theoretically you should not be getting involved in that. And Hashkacha should not be doing that. So you get to the relatives, and it gets a little more sticky, because here it's clearly kli suda. I mean, they're using it to eat from, and it's clearly kli suda. So Ramesh says again, so you could take the dry items and use them. You can't use your knife or your spoon for that purpose. So there's any heter. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says like this. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, let's say you raise the question and say, you know, these kelim need tefillah. Right about in this moment, right now. But, you know, I see them that afternoon and say, okay, tefillah. You know, you do it. So then, it's something which is roy for tefillah, so then you can't use it without tefillah. If they say, you know, in principle, they're very anti-religious, we're not going to tefillah. So now it's a situation where they have a chiyuv tefillah, they're not tefillah. I have no way to be tefillah. I can't take it against the root. So it's impossible to be tefillah for me as far as I'm concerned. The whole reason why Chazal made the Isra of Ishtamshes is this way you'll make sure that it'll be tefillah. If it's impossible to be tefillah, there's no Isra of Ishtamshes. See, if they're nice and accommodating, so it's possible to be tefillah. So then you can't use it until you tefillah it. So then you can't use it. If they're very incorrigible and they refuse to accommodate, then you're allowed to eat. That's what it comes out counterintuitive, right? So, what?
It's
another issue, and it's impossible for you to do anything about it. So then the responsibility is not incumbent upon you. Now, he said that it's a kula, it's a doichik. He says, but in a situation, obviously, when you're dealing with shalom bayis, et cetera, you'll be stomach on that kula. So, if it's, you know, it's the bubby, which, you know, really, you know, mamla, you want a table? Okay, table, you know. So you should try to get there early in Teufel. You know, it's Tante Bella, and Tante Bella says, don't you dare tell me what I'm supposed to do with my life, you know. So then you're okay. Yes, that's, I think I covered what I wanted to cover. Tikva Rachel, yes.
For starters, metal or fiber glass does or
does?
Salt pepper shakers and grinders.
Salt, they come also with the stuff in them. I don't think that's the same as the coffee thing, because that's necessary. Salt and pepper shakers are chayiv and tefillah with the brach. They come to the table and they're used in as kli suda. If they come with it in it, and that's like the way it's sold, so you can first...
You
don't have to empty it. Rashi says you don't have to empty in that situation, that's how it comes, so you don't have to empty it. You
let
it
be,
after you just have to type it. The grinder, I think some of the fancier grinders you take to the table, it's like part of the geschmack, but you take your pepper grinder to the table and you grind it there. So if that's true, it's considered kli suda. If not, so pepper is still considered usable because you can use it as a spice right away. So it's still bichayv, either way bichayv. So even though it's made out of, let's say it's made out of wood, but if the grinding part is metal, so it's chayv and tefillah.
And I have the scenarios that come across for me all the time is someone that maybe is not so prone, who's just starting to keep a door in the kitchen, and they'll say, they might ask me to do it, or they might...
So ring up the purchase first, and... give it to them, or have them make you a shliach to be. You're not the owner, so you could be a shliach to be kind of for them. And say, you know, I'm gonna pick this up for you to be kind of, and I'll take it over there.
So they don't have to pick up the bag. I would just have to say,
but they have to appoint you to make you a shliach.
Same thing,
or
like them asking you is considered making.
No, you should point out that I'm gonna halachically acquire it for you. I'll be your proxy, your agent to acquire it for them. And do a kinyan.
And if people have
been told
or something before they buy it,
it
happens all the time,
and
people have told me that rabbis tell them that it's okay, and I've even been yelled at by a rabbi
saying,
you don't have to tell people
that it's fine. And Menashe Klein says it's fine. So, you know. If
someone says it,
it's yotze, you know. You can just, I don't know who the person is, Rav Einem or held that it wasn't. It was a suffix, you know. So you can tell them that. Ramana said, "Yeah,
without
a bracha, without a bracha." But you know, so if somebody asks you, they want to know what to do, so you tell them. Somebody says, "You know, your rabbi said, you know, there's a poizik out there who says that's good. Your rabbi passed on the poizik. That's his prerogative."
Total that with the rest of her things,
and then go home and then call us and tell us to take it off our credit. And I was like, I don't know what kind of credit I want here. But, I mean, do I have to be in anything? Like, it's just my gift. Like, I
should just... No, yeah, you're not paid to be a police person. Yeah.
Back to the stickers. If everyone decides that we don't care that it's on there, but eventually the goo, everything wears off, is, like, retroactively...
No, I don't think so. If the normal approach at this point, the way it is, people will leave it on, so it's not considered chatzitza, so it doesn't change. Yeah.
Okay, a porcelain, metal covered in porcelain, does that have to be?
So that is a machloik. I mean, so what's touching the food is the enamel porcelain,
yeah,
is not the metal.
It's thick, like whatever it's.
Right. So that is a machloik in halacha. The best thing is tevel without a bracha. You know, the minig olam seems to be as long as you don't use it, you can wait. So you know, so there's you have tucked away your Pesach dishes that you got when you got married. Somebody gave you matana. You didn't have any Pesach for 10 years. They're not tevel yet. That's what.
Your stash gets big enough. That's worth it.
Right. You know, so that seems to be the minig olam. Which again, it's interesting to think about why that's so. But that seems to be the minig olam. Yeah. Sorry.
Gets you a glass dish or whatever, a dish.
Right.
And they total it for you.
Family member mean your husband or family member means like a cousin, a sister?
A sister. She gets it for, this is the scenario, she got it for free from a store.
Mm-hmm.
And the store has a keli mikvah, and I guess, I don't know.
So Shlomo Zalman dealt with this case. So I have a great idea. He says, listen, how about if I want to be zoiche it? So it has to belong to you to be chayv and tefila. So how about if I ask, you know, Pliny over here to be pick it up and be zoiche it for you, because that works. And now it's yours. Now I can tefila it. Right? How about, does that work? So Shlomo Zalman dealt with that actually the actual question. So you're saying that she went there with intent to buy it for you.
Yeah, and assume that I want her, that I want her.
Right, so it theoretically should work. Shlomo Zalman dealt with a case where you hadn't spoken to the person beforehand. You just sort of like assumed that the person, he said then it wouldn't work. If the person, if you had arranged it before him, he said if you didn't, because maybe when the person gets it, they'll say that, you know what, I don't really need it myself, I'll give it to somebody else as a matana. If that's what's going to happen, or something like that might happen, so he says then it wasn't a good tefillah. So he says, but if in case I would ask the person to do it for me, or be clear that's, it seems to me it should work.
So, but let's say like I told her like in general, whenever you get stuff from the store, like total, or she knows like whenever you want to give me something, total it for me. Is that okay?
I would stay away from it. It's a specific item, I would stay away from it because you know, if it's just you're giving her a general rule. Maybe this thing you don't need. So then you have a problem.
No, but she knows I need it.
If she knows you need it, she knows you want it, then it should be your shirukeh.
Here's a list of the things that I want. Next time you come, bring them.
That's your word.
That works.
Yeah.
If somebody gives you a gift that was already theirs, and they hear something, and they have told it, when you become the owner of it, you then have to retoble it?
They toveled it and they were using it, or they were, yeah.
What if they didn't?
If they didn't, then you have to.
If it's a suffix, you do it.
Well, if you don't know, yeah.
If you don't know, you toveled out of Brooklyn.
Without a
Brooklyn.
What if you're in a scenario where the family of who says, go ahead, tovel it, like, I don't care, but I'm not going to do it. So, like, you would go and tovel it with a bracha as if you're their shaliyah?
Right. If you know it wasn't toveled, right.
I don't know if it was toveled, then you would do it without.
Without a Brooklyn, right.
Yeah.
So you could, again, so over there you could, even though it's maybe better to do the whole thing, but you know, it's probably, like the tircha is to, you know, is such, doing it separate is also valid, you can just take those parts and do those parts, you don't have to do the whole thing.
You're saying including the leaves? Like the electric part, or just the cut part? Because you can't, I mean at least mine, you can't cut, yeah, it's like a puzzle. It goes in the base, and then you have to insert the special cup thing that pushes the food down. If that's not inserted, then the whole thing doesn't work. I don't know if anyone's food processors like this, but it's not locked properly. It's not locked properly.
Will not turn on.
So that's with the base, with the whole electric thing, and then the metal blade and the plastic cup.
The way that it would be used, you'd have to lock it properly.
And then the
metal blade would actually operate because of the safety mechanism.
Right, that would be fine. You're talking about, it's not considered chatzitza because that's how it works.
Right.
That'd be the preferred way of doing it. Again, it's a big tiracle. Just
the cord?
Yeah.
So you're saying that?
No, same, but again, I think in that situation, because of the tiracle involved, it's just, you know, easier to take the whole blade. You can be talking about that. But yeah, we say that you would terrible the kli mafura in pieces, it's good. And once you're doing mafura, you can only do the parsha, you only have to do the parsha shakayev. No, see, toaster oven, the argument by toaster oven, the toaster oven itself is like an oven, it's not chayev, it's just the rack, it's the only thing which comes in contact with the food, is the rack. But the racks are made to come in and out. Over here, it functions, even when it's, the oven is functioning, the racks come in and out. Over here, when it's functioning, it's together, it's not separate. So really, the eco way of doing it is together. The maisa, I think you can be similar to do it, and just take out the part which is, once you take it apart, you only have to do the part which is chayev and tefillah. You never do the other parts. The material which is chayiv and tefillah. So the blade is chayiv and everything else is plastic. So don't worry about it. Esther? The cord, it's attached, it's chayiv.
Immersion blender, I should have told the whole thing, not just because immersion, you know, it's like a hand blender, right? So you have, there's the...
Theoretically, you should tie with the whole thing, right? Yeah, no, yeah.
And then there's like the electric part.
Don't take that heat.
It's definitely okay. Right.
I would have known.
Yeah.
So what's the scenario if you go into any place and you want to buy a drink and service you in a glass and
like
the
Goyish
place, you know that
that's your problem? Well, if it's a Goyish place, it belongs to a Goy, it's not Chayv and Tefillah. The problem is if it's a Yiddish place and he didn't Tefillah, then you got a problem. That's where you have a problem. If you have no difference between which is a Jewish place or not Jewish place, you have no difference between
Tevel
or not.
Place and not Jewish place means the owner is Jewish?
Owner, yeah. Right, so if the owner is...
I don't know.
If you don't know, you follow Rov. So, Rov things in America are not Jewish. On the other hand, you know, maybe Rov stores which say Goldberg's on them, maybe are Jewish, I don't know, but you know, it probably might be true. I'm not sure that that's true. Because a lot of people who have named Goldberg nowadays, their father's Jewish, their mother isn't, right?
What is the scenario that would happen when you're saying if you go somewhere
besides Jewish? The case which came up was, so you have these, you know, you have these fryer Israelis, but you know, business is business. So they carry all the kosher things, etc., because that's business. You know, but the kalim, you know. Well, Russia says you can't use the fork to start with. Forget about
you. Well, you could say you brought your plastic fork. I guess.
Yes, you couldn't put it back on the plate. You cannot put it back on the plate.
Just see that.
Why? The plate doesn't need to be tovu.
No, we're talking about the scenario. You said that.
But the plate, which is chayiv and tefillah. Okay, it's a china plate. You're okay.
Most plates don't need to be tovu.
It depends. You have a glass plate, so you're not uncommon.
Yeah. Sometimes, but for you, earthenware.
All plates that you buy, they are glazed. Not maybe not foam china and fine china.
Really
fancy stuff,
is it?
But
from
my
target,
my Ceramic, my Hasa glass. My
shop is placed definitely
needs to be tofu because
they're like.
It has like it's done.
It's earthenware.
Depends on the product. I started reading the computer a little bit about it because it seems to be not old. I mean, I'm trying to get figure out the metzias or how they what they do. I'm not clear about it yet. Right.
Like, Made By You, you know that pottery store that, like,
right.
You make it, but then they glaze it in a glass glaze and heat it, so you're going to have to tovel all the things that you make because they're doing the final step.
Yeah, we tovel them.
But, so it's the same process. It's dipped.
Right.
So those are all the cheaper stuff.
Yeah, anything you buy in Target or anything like that is made in that process. But if you go into Mikasa and you get the really nice china there that's super light, that's the bowl of china
that you break. When you
right,
if you're gonna break it when you tovel it.
Porcelain is lighter.
You know, I don't know. I have to look into it just to understand the process. Okay, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.